Oh, that was good. I'd like to hear him sing that again. Would you? I'd love to hear that again. That was fantastic. Appreciate it. Good music. I tell you what, it's great too. You folks have great music around here, and I hope you enjoy it. Hope you appreciate it. It's just a fantastic thing to hear music like that. It's I tell you, there's nothing like it. All right. Well, I want to just call your attention to a book fresh off the press just came in. Today, a brand new book we're hearing, Broad is the Way. And, you know, every fundamental Bible-believing Christian Baptist should get this, okay? Amen. Because it is, you know, it's not for the squeamish, okay? Because this is a book that names some names and talks about some schools and talks about some churches that once were fundamental down, right down the line. And how they have gone into the contemporary movement. And so you need to get this because it's happening all around. You know, I used to say it took many, many pastors, well, a number of pastors for a church to start going the wrong way. And now it only takes one. Only takes one. Except for maybe this church. Maybe take two or three. But usually... most fundamental Baptist churches, just one, and they can go down the wrong road. So, you know, and the reason why is because people in the pew are not really educated as to what's going on. So I know you're getting that here, but this will back up what preacher's been talking to you about, okay? There's another pastor, a dear friend of mine, Dave Sorensen, a great writer. He writes many of our books back there that we carry, and I just wish I could say I wrote it. But I'm not a writer. I never write any books. I just that's not my thing at all. So anyway, my wife wants to write a book, it's going to come from her, not from me. Okay. Well, let's take our Bibles tonight, please. Open, if you will, to the book of John, chapter number 3. Book of John, chapter number 3, in your Bible tonight. John's Gospel, chapter number 3, in the Word of God. This evening, and we're going to look at a very familiar passage of Scripture in the Bible, and classic passage of Scripture. So John chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. All right, let's look to the Lord, please, in a word of prayer. Every head's bowed, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for every opportunity to open up the Bible. We pray you'll use the Bible in our midst tonight. And Lord, that we might see whether or not we've been born again, and we'll thank you and praise you at all for it all in Jesus' name. And for his sake, we pray these things. Amen. In about 1980, my wife and I and family took off for Canada. First time we'd ever gone to Canada. It was a long trip. We left down around Peoria, Illinois, and we were pulling our trailer up into Canada to preach. And I tell you, it was a long trip. I don't think I can remember a longer trip. I thought, am I ever going to get to the Canadian border? Because I'd never been up the East Coast up that far. And we finally got to a place called Houlton, Maine. I don't know if you've ever been there, but if you take Interstate 95 up into New Brunswick, you know, you will run into, you'll go through Houlton, you know, if you take 95. I don't take 95 anymore. I take over through Calais, and because I don't like Houlton. I'll tell you why. You'll find out why I don't like Houlton. But anyway, I came into Houlton, Maine, and pulled into the customs there. You know, the Canadian customs, and I didn't know what was going to happen, and I'd never gone through before. But you know, I stopped there, and the fellow that's operating the Canadian customs, he says, "Where are you going?" I said, "Well, you know, I'm going to Moncton, New Brunswick." And I'm going to preach over there for a week of meetings. He said, "Well, who's going with you?" Well, I was being smart, you know, and you get in trouble when you're smart, you know. And I said, "Well, my wife and I and, you know, my kids, my four children and my dog and my cat." Oh, I wish I'd never said my dog and my cat. I regret this day for being smart. You know, I should have just said, just my wife and kids, you know. And you know what that Canadian customs official said? He said, "Well, have your dog and your cat had a rabies shot?" I said, "A rabies shot? Yeah. You can't take that dog and cat and can unless it got a rabies shot." And I said, "Well, the dog has." And he says, "You got to prove it too." And so I said, "Well, I can do that." I remember having the rabies shot for the dog. And so I went back in the trailer and I have all this little green can I keep all my important papers in. You know, you got one of those at home, one of those little green cans. You put all, you stuff all your green papers in there, you know, and important papers and things like that. And I'm going through there and I'm praying, "Lord, help me to find that thing." And oh, praise God, I found it. And I kissed the thing, said, "Praise the Lord, I found this certificate." And I was just hoping that he would not say anything about the cat. I was hoping he'd say, "Okay, you know, that's fine. And just let the cat go on in." And because the cat had not had a rabies shot, you know. And so I went out there and I thought, "Well, you know, he knows I'm a preacher. And, you know, preachers probably, cats don't have rabies anyway." And so I was hoping he'd think that, you know. And so I go and I go out there and I hand him the birth certificate showing that my dog had a rabies shot. And he said, "How about the cat?" I thought, "Oh, no, you know." And I said, "Sir, that cat has not had a rabies shot." And he said, "Well, you can't take that cat into Canada unless he's got a rabies shot, you know." And I said, "Well, look, it's Saturday." It was Saturday afternoon, I think. And I still had 400 or 500 miles to go to get to Moncton, Brunswick. And I thought, you know, it's Saturday. And I'm just going in for a few weeks. I was hoping he'd make an exception. You know, I was hoping he'd say, "Well, you're a preacher, you know, and your cat, you just going into Canada and you're just going for a few weeks, you know." And he wouldn't do it. He said, "You got to get that cat a rabies shot." I said, "Sir, where am I going to get a rabies shot on Saturday?" He said, "We've got some very nice veterinarians in this area to help you guys out." And he said, "This has happened on other occasions." And he gave me some numbers, phone numbers. And so I went over and I got on that phone and I called up. It was a pay phone back in those days. Didn't have any cell phones, you know. And so I called up this number and a nice lady. And I told her my situation. I was a preacher. I was going to Canada. And, I had a cat that didn't have a rabies shot. They weren't going to let me take that cat into Canada. Let's got a rabies shot. And I told her, and she was so sweet and so kind. She said, "Oh, my husband will be happy to help you, but he's out of town on a fishing trip." First time in all my life I was sad about hearing anybody on a fishing trip. Boy, I love to go on fishing trips. Amen. And especially up there in Canada, you know. And so he said, she said, "But he'll be back, you know, probably late tonight." I said, "Ma'am," I said, "thank you very much. But you know what? I got to be in Moncton. I'm preaching Sunday morning. And thank you very much." And so I hung up and I thought, "Oh, the guy's going to make an exception now. He's going to say, you know what? You tried. I mean, you did your best, you know, and you're just going for a few weeks anyway. And the dog's got a rabies shot. And we'll just overlook the cat and we'll just let you go on in there." I was hoping he'd think that. I went back and told the story to him. He said, "Well," he said, "you got to get a rabies shot to take that cat into Canada." I said, "Sir, where am I going to get a veterinarian?" He said, "Well, there's one 25 miles back down the road, a little town called Island Falls, Maine." I said, "You mean you're going to make me turn this big truck? I had a 40-foot fifth-wheel trailer. Are you going to make me turn this truck and trailer all the way around and go down that little town of Island Falls, Maine, just to get this cat, a rabies shot, so I can go into Canada?" He said, "Sir, listen. That's the way it is. That's the rules. You can't take that cat into Canada unless he's got a rabies shot. I'm sorry. That is the way it's going to be. It's you have no other choice." I said, "Okay, you know." And I remember getting in that car and turn a big old truck. I was going to take that trailer way back down the road, you know. I mean, I was going to do that. So I unhooked the trailer in a little shopping mall, and I said to my wife and my kids, I said, listen, you just stay there, but don't spend any money. and you just enjoy yourself and look at all the stuff in the mall and stuff like that. And I'm going to take this cat down to Island Falls, Maine. And so I dropped the family off, and I got in that big truck of mine, and I started going down Interstate 95. And I tell you what, I was going down that Interstate 95, and I was looking at that cat over there on the other side of the seat, and I was looking at the window. And I thought, you know what? Gilmore, you fool, why don't you just pitch that cat right out the window and go on to the Canada, you know? Or at least tell him to meet you on the other side of the border down the road a little bit. I was very tempted to do that, but you know what? My daughter, right down here, Melody, she loves that cat. That was her cat. And I tell you what, she'd sooner have me pitched out the window on that cat. I had no choice, folks. I mean, to tell you, I was going to pitch that. I love my daughter, you know. I mean, she's the only one I got. And I didn't want to get on her bad side at all. And so I said, I have no choice. I remember going down there to Island Falls, Maine. And I found the veterinarian. And I went in there and I told him the story. He said, well, I'll be happy to give your cat a shot. And so, but I'll need your help because I don't have any helpers around. And I said, that's fine. I'll be glad to help you. And so he gets this big, long needle out about that long, you know. I don't like this side of needles, man. I'll tell you what. But I didn't mind seeing that needle that day at all. In fact, I felt like telling that guy, give him two or three or four so he'll never need another one, you know? And he got that cat, that needle out, and he punched that cat with that needle, and he got a rabies shot, signed the piece of paper. I took that piece of paper, stuck it in my pocket. I put the cat back in that big old crew cab truck. I drove up to the mall where my kids were, hooked up that trailer, and got the kids in the truck, and drove up to the Canadian customs official, and I said, sir, here it is. And he took a look at that, and he said, all right. And a big old smile came across his face, said, you can go on into Canada now with your cat. Well, you know, I've always wondered why that happened to me. You know, have you ever had things happen to you and you wonder why they happened? You know, there's no accident with God. You know, especially, you know, when you're in the will of God. There's no accident. When you're in the will of God, that's a wonderful thing. You know, when you're in the will of God, it's the safest place in all the world to be, in the will of God. Because there's no accidents. I mean, God just causes all those things to work out for your good and His glory, see? And I'll tell you something, folks, I know why that happened. You know why? So I can tell you something, that except you're born again, you're never going to get in the kingdom of God. Except a man or a woman or a boy or a girl be born again, except a church member be born again, except a person who's living a good life be born again, except you be born again, if you're a Sunday school teacher, except you be born again, if you are going to Bible college, except you be born again, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. Have you been born again? Have you been born again? You know something? The Bible is a wonderful book, and those of us who are familiar with the Bible, we know that there are 66 books in the Bible. You know, and we know that that's true. There are 66. We know the Bible is divided in the Old Testament and New Testament. We know that. But here's something you maybe didn't know, that there are 776,692 words in the Bible. That's quite a few words. Now, I didn't stay up all the day counting those things, but I'm taking that as a statistic that someone else came up with, and I'm trusting that they're correct in that thing, but that's a lot of words. But I want to preach to you tonight about the five most important words of the Bible. Of all those 766,692 words, the five most important words of the Bible are, ye must be born again. If you want to get to heaven, if you don't want to die and go to hell, if you want to get to heaven, ye must be born again. Now, I want you to note four things about those most important words in the Bible. Four things tonight about those most important words in the Word of God tonight. First of all, I want you to see the message of these five most important words. What's the message? Oh, the message is glorious. The message is that we can be saved. We can be saved. We can have our sins forgiven. You see, all our sins can be forgiven. Say, that's the message of being born again. All your sins. I mean, all the sins that pass, all the sins of present, all the sins you haven't given in the future. You can have them totally, completely forgiven. You can be redeemed. You can be set free from the power of sin. Jesus not only forgives us from the penalty of our sin, but he redeems us from the power of sin. We can have victory over sin. I don't know what the sin is in your life that is plaguing you and giving you great heartache. And sin can be satisfied for a little while, but then all of a sudden it's a bitter dreg start working on you. And working on your conscience and bothering you. I don't know, my friend, what those sins are that are enslaving you. But thank God, we can be born again. That means this, that we can be redeemed from the power of sin in our life. And it also means this, that we can be regenerated. We can become alive unto God. We can be filled with life, a spiritual life. And going to church is no longer a drag. And the Bible is something that's just as normal as breathing. And we can be regenerated and made alive spiritually unto God. And for the first time, we really become alive in life. Because when you come to the world, you're dead spiritually to God. And you're not alive spiritually, and you're a spiritual being. You've been made in the image of God, and you live without God, and your life's going to be half empty. You live without God. Lots of problem people, they're living without God. And that's why their life is so meaningless and purposeless. Less. You know? Why? Because they're leaving God out. But being born again, you can be regenerated. Being born again, not only can you be regenerated, you can have eternal life. And you can have a certainty that you're going to heaven. You can have that wonderful gift of everlasting life in your life. And you know what? You can be changed. You can be changed. That's the glorious message of being born again. You don't have to be the way you are. You could be a new husband. You could be a new wife. You could be a new teenager. You could be changed. A lot of people like to be changed. A lot of people, you know, they don't really enjoy who they are or where they are. But, you know, you could be changed. Your life can become so much more meaningful. You could be changed by being born again. That's the glorious message of these five most important words. You can be born again. That's a glorious message. But not only do we see the message of these five most important words, but we see the must of these five important words. I want you to note that. Notice Jesus said, you must be born again. He didn't say if you feel like it, you know, if it is convenient, if you agree with it. He didn't say that. He said, you must be born again. You know, you must. This is God's command. This is God's directive. It is God's absolute essential. You must be born again. You cannot get around it, my friend. That's what God says. You must be born again. Now, why does he say that? Why do you have to be born again? Because you know what? You're born wrong the first time. You were born wrong. You were born with a heart that wants to go astray from God. You're born going astray. The wicked are estranged from the womb as soon as they be born, speaking lies. They go astray. Psalm 58 and verse 3. You know, everybody knows that something is wrong in this world. Something is not right. Look at the mess our world's in. You look at our world tonight we got all kinds of technology. But, you know, you give technology to a bunch of people who have been born wrong and look out. Corruption. I mean, you know, you give technology, you give education to a lot of people that have been born wrong, and you watch out, they're going to throw God out the window. Say, we live in a day when this world is just going haywire. You see, people are killing each other, and war and famines and people's lives are filled with physical problems and mental problems, and our mental institutions are filled, and there's something wrong with this world. I don't think you have to be a real educator. You don't have to be a scientist, a space scientist, to know that, pick up the newspaper and see the divorces and see the drug addicts and see the deaths on the highways through alcohol and drug consumption, and see the homes wrecked and the divorce and the marriage and the immorality growing by leaps and bounds, and something's wrong. Something's wrong. What is it that's wrong? People have been born wrong. Been born sinners. The problem is sin. That's the problem. People are sinning and they're born sinners. All the programs and all the progress proposed by fallen man are doomed to failure before they get underway. The Bible plainly shows the whole world reeling and rocking toward hell. Listen, the instability of our monetary system, the awful apostasy of our churches, the tremendous pressure under which we have made a decent living for families, the fear of war, disease, something's wrong in this world. You know what the problem is? It's that men are sinners and they've sinned against the Holy God. You must be born again, my friend, because God's not to let that kind of thing into heaven. God's not going to let you into heaven with all your sin. You'd defile it. You'd mess it up. It would be full of wickedness and war and poverty and disease and sickness, and all that stuff would just fill up heaven. God's not going to let that into heaven. You see, you got to be born again. You must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. Secondly, we must be born again because we're born wrong. And number two, because we're born in the flesh. And the flesh does not desire God. You know, if you got to heaven in your flesh, you would be absolutely worse than going to hell. The flesh does not want to pray. The flesh does not want to go to church. The flesh does not want to live in obedience to the Word of God. The flesh is rebellious towards God's Word. The flesh. And out of the flesh, the Bible says, come certain things. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, it says, thou works of the flesh are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Sounds like the modern day newspaper, doesn't it? Sounds like the modern day soap opera. Sounds like the world which live, envyings and murders and drunkenness and revelings, the such like of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, my friend, you need to be born again. Your flesh is heading for the judgment of God. You were born wrong. You were born in the flesh. And the flesh is against God. And the flesh, God says, needs nothing that be done, but have the judgment of a holy God come upon it. Oh, you must be born again. And so we see the must of these five most important words. But I want you to know something else. I want you to see the mystery of these five most important words. The mystery of these five most important words. Now, Jesus is talking here to Nicodemus. You know, there are a lot of great mysteries in the Bible. This is the greatest one. This is the greatest mystery of the Bible. You must be born again. That's a mystery. You know, Thomas Edison, he did not understand electricity. You know, he didn't understand it all. It was a mystery to him. But you know what? He's famous because of his use of it and his working of it. I don't know much about electricity, but I do know how to push a button and turns the light on. You know, it remains a mystery to me. There are a lot of mysteries of life. You know, mysteries are prevalent everywhere. But the greatest mystery, you know, probably is the new birth. How you can be born again. What a mystery. It was a mystery to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a ruler. He was a spiritual, he was a religious ruler. He was a teacher of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. But you know something? He had a problem. He was not born again. You see, you can be a religious person. You can be a ruler of the Jews. You can be a person in a place of responsibility like Nicodemus was, but not be born again. He was a problem. And folks, if you're not born again, that's your problem tonight. That's your big problem tonight. You're not born again. You're in the flesh. You've been born wrong. And you know what? Until you're born again, you'll never get born right. You'll never get born right in the eyes of God. Say, you got to get born, you know, first of all, wrong. You got to see that you've been born wrong. And then you get born right. See, if you don't think you've been born wrong, you'll never be born right. You got to come to that realization. I don't know what it's going to take. I mean, look at what's going on in the world. People have been born wrong, say. Well, they just need education. Man, you give them all kinds of education, they still go out and do a whole bunch of wrong stuff. Oh, they just need more money. Let's give them more money. Let's give them a nice home to live in. Let's give them a nice car. And yet they still go out there. And they live in the flesh. They kill their parents and they kill their children. And this whole world is born wrong, folks. Wake up. Get your head out of the sand. People are born wrong. I wish to God that, you know, people in the government and you would realize that. They don't believe that people are born wrong. They believe, oh, well, they're just not educated. You know, oh, they have all this poverty they're raised in, and you give them more money and get them out of their poverty. No, my friend, they need to be born again. They need to be born again, say. Oh, dear friend, this is a mystery, this matter of being born again. He was religious, Nicodemus, but he had this problem. He was not born again. You know, Jesus admits to Nicodemus it is a mystery. You know, Nicodemus said, how can a man be born the second time? You know, that's what he said there. Nicodemus said to them, verse 4, how can a man be born when he's old? See, that was a problem with Nicodemus. He was religious, but he didn't understand. You know, religion doesn't give you an understanding of the Bible. Religion doesn't give you an understanding of spiritual truth. In fact, if anything religion does, it confuses you even more. Religion is going to put more people in hell than sin ever did. Because religious people, you know, they don't believe there's anything wrong with them. They don't think they've been born wrong. They got religion, you know. They don't see that there's something wrong inside. There's something wrong inside with them. Something wrong inside with everybody. All the people since Adam was sinned in the Garden of Eden. The killing, the murdering, the lusting, the immorality, the cussing, the swearing. All that stuff, it all comes from being born wrong, say. And that happened ever since Adam and Eve sinned. I mean, even the Bible says before that Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they were in the likeness of God. But after they sinned, the Bible says that the descendants of Adam and Eve were in the likeness of Adam and Eve after that. And death came upon them. You read Genesis 5, and it says that he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. Why? Why do people die? Why do people, you know, continually die? Because, folks, the wage of sin is death. That's why. Why are you dying? Because the wages of sin is death. You've been born wrong. You've been born with the curse of death upon your soul. See? And so, you know, Nicodemus is, he says, why is it that, what are you talking about, Jesus, being born again? Can a person enter their mother's womb the second time? See, Jesus is explaining to this fella, Nicodemus, that it's a mystery, say. And he explains that it's profoundly simple. You see, being born again is profoundly simple. Even though it looks like it's a big mystery, but it's profoundly simple. It's wonderful. It's thrilling. It's amazing. It's glorious. It's a miracle just to think in less than the time it takes to, you know, breathe, you could be born again. Just in a short amount of time. I mean, you don't have to go through a long period of years striving and doing good works and things. And just in a moment, you could be born again. Just that quickly. It's that simple. It's that plain. You could be born again simply. You ask, well, what must I do? And the answer is this. There's nothing you can do to get yourself born again. Now, the other half is this, though, that there is something you do to be born again. There is something you do. But it's not because of your doing that you're born again. It involves a choice. Now listen, will you give your undivided attention tonight? Will you give your undivided attention while I give you the greatest news ever, fell from the lips of our Lord Jesus? It is a story that never grows old. And that story is how you can be born again tonight. In a moment, before we leave this building tonight, you can walk out of this building born again. Just in a moment. I'm going to give you the simple message. I'm going to give you the clear truth of how you can be born again. The new birth is a mystery, yet God has set forth in simple language the means whereby you can have this wonderful experience in your life. So that brings me to the last point I want you to see tonight. I want you to see the means of these five most important words. The means of these five most important words. In other words, how is a person born again? How can you, how can your friend, how can your neighbor be born again? You know how it can happen? It's by a means. And that means is, first of all, a miracle of God. It's how is a person born of the Spirit? How is he born again? It takes a miracle of God. That's what it takes. It takes a miracle of God. It doesn't come through your church. It doesn't come through your efforts. It's a miracle that God does in your life, in your heart. And notice with me, in the book of John, you find there are two miracles, great miracles. First of all, in the book of John, you find there's the miracle of incarnation. And that is Jesus Christ coming into the world. And Jesus Christ living a perfect life and coming as the Son of God. And Jesus Christ going to the cross of Calvary and on that cross taking all your sin and my sin and the sin of everyone in this world. Jesus Christ paying that penalty for our sins on the cross of Calvary and taking that penalty. And then he's buried, but he rose again the third day. He's in the Father's right hand. And now through him and through the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection from the dead, his taking your penalty and my penalty of our sin on the cross of Calvary and paying the price of that sin. You see, that is the means of your being able to be born again. It's what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary for you and what he accomplished on that cross for you and for me. So the middle, the first miracle in the book of John is the miracle of the incarnation. And then there is the miracle of the new birth through that miracle of the incarnation. Through what Jesus did on the cross, we can have the miracle of the new birth. See, you can have it because of what Jesus did on that cross for you when he died on that cross. You can have that new birth. In John chapter number 1 and verse number 13, we find these words. Listen to what the Bible says there in John chapter 1 and verse number 13. The Word of God says this. It says in verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. See, that miracle that of the new birth, first of all, we see how it doesn't take place. What isn't the means of this new birth taking place in your life or my life? First of all, it's not of blood. In other words, you can't inherit this new birth from your relatives. You know, you may have a godly father and a godly mother. You know, you can't. You may be born in that kind of family. You're blessed if you're born in that kind of family. But you can't. You don't inherit that new birth because you got relatives, you know, who are saved. And even if they're a preacher, even if they're a deacon, even if they're a Sunday school teacher, even if they've been a godly man or woman in that church for years, you don't inherit that from them. It's not, the Bible says, of blood. It's not through relatives that you are born again. Secondly, the Bible says they're not of the flesh. That talks about good works. That talks about your good works, all your laboring and religious works you do, and helping people across the street, and giving some money to UNICEF. I hope you don't do that, but, you know, giving some money to the Salvation Army, or making donations of old clothes to different goodwill drives. Or it's not through your good works. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. What's the mercy? Calvary. What Jesus did on that cross. According to His mercy. Where was God's mercy revealed? At Calvary. God's mercy. He didn't have to send His Son to die for your sin. He didn't have to do that. But in mercy, He loved you. And He wanted you to be set free from sin and its power and its penalty. He didn't want you to spend eternity in hell. You couldn't spend eternity in heaven with your sin. You'd defile it. Bible says in Revelation 21:27, there shall be nothing that will enter in into heaven that defileth it. God's not going to let you into heaven with your sin. Well, you say, I've been baptized. It doesn't take care of your sin. Well, I live a good life. Listen, that doesn't take care of your sin. Sin's the problem. Your sin is the problem. No, it's not your neighbor's sin's the problem. It's not your dad or your husband or your wife. It's your sin that's the problem that you got. And you better deal with that sin the right way, or you're stuck with it. You don't deal with it the right way, my friend, you're going to die with that sin, and it's going to take you right to hell. Because the wage of sin is death. That's what the Bible says. It's not the works that... this miracle, the new birth, is going to take place in your life. It's not the works. It is not the will of man. Notice it goes on to say, not of blood, nor the will, the works of the flesh, but the Bible, and says, nor the will of man. No, you know, the will of man, man's organizations, man's religious tendencies. For instance, a church. It's not of a church. It's not the will of some church that bequeaths upon you, this new birth. You know, it's not a church that gives it to you. Jesus said, except man be born again. Didn't say except to be a Baptist. He didn't say except to be a Catholic. He didn't say except to be a Presbyterian. He didn't say except to be a Mormon. He didn't say except to be, no, He said except to be born again. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. It's not a church. You know, I remember growing up, I went to church. I went to church when I was growing up. It was very boring to me. You know, I only went because Mom made me go. But it was very boring. I'd sit in the back row, and, you know, as soon as the preacher said amen, I was out the door as soon as you could say, expialidocious, whatever that big long word is. I was out there door. I was home by then. I was bored. You know why? I wasn't alive. I was dead. I was dead spiritually in my sin. You know, I didn't get rid of my sin by going to that church. It's like old Billy Sunday says, you don't become a Christian by, going to church. It's like saying that a horse becomes a car when you take that horse into your garage. No, it doesn't happen that way. See, it's not a church. I went to church. There was no miracle in my life. Churches don't give the miracle of a new life. Walking down the aisle doesn't give a miracle of a new life. Praying a prayer doesn't give the miracle of a new life. Getting born again works a miracle in your life. You're changed. You're different. There's a miracle that's taking place. All of a sudden, your wife sees you're different. Your husband sees that you're different. Your kids see you're different. Your mom and dad say, you know, my son he's a lot different around the house. Why? There's a miracle that's taking place. You've been born again. You've come alive unto God. I tell you what, I'd gone to church for, a lot of years of my life. There was no miracle in my life, friend. I'm going to tell you something. I'd still use words that weren't right. And I tell you what, I'd still think thoughts that were ungodly. And there was no miracle, even though I was going to church. Even though I was religious and going to church, you know. Man, there was no miracle in my life. Why? Because this miracle of the new birth does not take place through the will of man. Through churches, organizations, groups of good groups that you could join. It's not a church, it's no organization. All right? What is it then that brings this miracle of the new birth? What enables it to take place in your life? What is it that gives the miracle of the new birth? Notice it goes on to say, it's of God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become, verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. It's a work of God. It's a miracle that God does inside of you. He births you spiritually inside, in your heart, inside your spirit. Your spirit becomes born. Again, you are born the second time. Someone said, born twice, you only die once physically. Born once, you'll die twice, eternally and spiritually. Oh, dear friend, have been born again. You see, what is the work that God uses? What does God use to make this miracle take place in your life? He uses a choice of obedience to the Word of God. That's what he uses. To work this miracle of a new birth in your life, God looks for one thing, and that is a choice of obedience to the Word of God in your life, in your heart. What is that choice of obedience? Look at verse 12. As many as received him, that's Christ, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. See, people are born again to the sons of God. They're in God's family. They're sons of God. People are not born again. They're sons of Satan. They're in the devil's family. They're the devil's followers. If you haven't been born again, my friend, you're following the devil. And the devil's going to hell. And that's where you'll be. But you see, what does God use to work that miracle? He doesn't use baptism. He doesn't use confirmation. He doesn't use a good life that you're living. He doesn't use a church. He uses your choice of obedience to the Word of God. And what is that choice of obedience to the Word of God that works this miracle of the new birth in your heart, in your life? It is the decision to receive Christ as your Savior, the only one who can take care of your sins, the only one who paid for your sins on the cross of Calvary, the only one who conquered death and came forth the dead and is alive at the Father's right hand. It's your choice to receive him. And when you make that choice, God works a miracle. God does it. It's not you. God works this miracle inside. Someone said, I don't think I could live the Christian life, preacher. You know what? I couldn't live it either. And nobody could live it. You see, but I'll tell you something. God can live it. God can live it in and through you. God will give you the power to live it. He'll give you a desire to live it. God does that. You don't have to worry about, oh, I don't think I could quit this. I don't think I'd give up that. Hey, my friend, I want to tell you something. That's not what's going to bring you new birth anyway. You're quitting. It's your receiving. It's your receiving a gift that Jesus Christ purchased on the cross of Calvary for you. That's where the new birth takes place. And then God starts working miracles. All of a sudden, that old alcohol doesn't taste good anymore. It's not something you had to quit, but all of a sudden, because God's working inside of you. You know, all of a sudden that music you used to enjoy, you know, it doesn't seem to really ring like it used to. And you're a new person. You've been born again. You've been born from above. But tell you something. If you still like the old music of the world, and you still like the booze of the world, and you still like all that stuff, you've never been born again. I don't care how many times you say you have been saved. You've never been born again. There's no miracle there. There's no miracle but changed life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passing away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Why? Because you're born again. You are a new person. You have a new heart, a new spirit inside of you. It's God in you working out His good will and His pleasure inside of you. My friend, if you were to stand before God tonight, let's say that you did stand before God tonight, and it could happen. It's a point of man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. After this, the judgment. You don't turn to dust and ashes, you're going to stand before God one day. If you were to stand before God tonight, and you know, God was to show you the door to hell, and He was to show you the door to heaven. Those are the two doors that are beyond the grave. Those are the two doors, only two doors that you're going to face when you leave this life, is the door into hell or the door into heaven. And if you were to die tonight and stand before God, and God was to show you that door into hell and that door to heaven, listen, you know, and He was to say, now, here's the Bible. I want you to show me right from the Bible why I shouldn't have you cast into hell. I want you to show me from the Bible why I shouldn't have you, why I should allow you to go into heaven. I want you to show it to me right from the Bible. By the way, God's Word is forever preserved. It's forever settled in heaven. This is God's Word, folk. One day you'll be judged by this book. One day you'll face this book, not only in this church, or not only you'll face this book in eternity when you stand before God. God's going to judge you by His Word. Say, and if He was to take this Bible and show it to you and say, show me why, could you show the Lord right from the Bible why you shouldn't be cast into hell? From the Bible. Not because you feel like you're a good person, but from the Bible, could you show it? Could you show from the Bible why you should be allowed to go into heaven? You know, some of you couldn't do that. You know something? If that's you, I wouldn't leave this building without knowing for sure from the Bible that I have been born again. You know why? Because Jesus said, except a man be born again, he'll never enter the kingdom of God. Have you been born again? It can take place in a moment. It's not a long period of time. It can take place in a moment when you're willing to make that choice of obedience to the Word of God and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Receive Him as the one, the only one, who can take care of your sin and wash it away forever. The only one who can make you a new creature. The only one who can work the miracle of a new life, a new birth inside of your heart. He wants to do it tonight. Will you make that choice of obedience tonight and receive the Christ who went to that Calvary's cross for you and bled and died for you so that you could be born again, so you could be redeemed, so you could have eternal, everlasting life, so that you could have forgiveness for all your sin, so you could be regenerated into a person with a new life and a new purpose in life and a meaning in life, a fulfilling life? Will you open your heart to Him and receive Him tonight and go out born again? I pray you'll do it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Speak to our hearts, oh Lord, I pray. And Father, I pray if there be anybody in our midst who's never been born again, I pray that they would realize that they're not going to be the exception. God's not going to make an exception, just like that Canadian custom official wasn't going to make any exception, even though I was a preacher. I couldn't go into Canada unless I met the requirement. And my friend, oh, my friend, may God help you tonight to realize that you must be born again. And if there's no miracle in your life, you can't look and see the miracle, the change that He's wrought, is because you've never been born again. Lord, I pray that we as Christians would live like we're born again. I pray, dear God, there are Christians here that need to get back to living like they're born again. Lord, they need to get back to that relationship with You and living a miraculous life because of Christ who's inside of them. And Father, we'll give you the praise and glory for it all in Jesus' name. And for his sake, we pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me ask this question tonight. How many can say, preacher, in the light of the scripture tonight, in the light of the word of God, I know, I can give you a Bible reason why I know that I've been born again. And that I'll be able to enter the kingdom of God when I die. I know that. I have certainty of it in my heart and life. If you can say that honestly, truthfully, when you're seated, would you slip that hand right up there high and say, preacher, thank God. I know. I can say I've been born again. I know it. I can see the miracle that my life is a change. I can see when that Christ has given me a new life and a new spirit, new soul, new heart. I can see it. Oh, lift that hand if you can say that. Lift it high. Don't take it down yet. Just lift it high. You ought to be grabbing a hold of the ceiling. It's so great to be born again. All right. Thank you, me. Put your hand down. I wonder, is there someone here tonight? Say, preacher, you know, I had to be honest. I couldn't raise my hand. You know, you'll never be born again until you see you're a wicked, lost sinner on your way to hell. You'll never be born again until you recognize you can't save yourself. There's no way that you can take care of your sin. You'll never be born again until you see your problem is your sins. Your problem is that you're a sinner. You'll never be born again until you acknowledge that receive that truth and quit, ignoring it. Oh, dear friend, you can be born again tonight. If you acknowledge your sinner, if you acknowledge that Christ is the one, only one who can take care of your sin, if you realize that the means of being born again is not through your church, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood at Calvary. If you realize tonight that it's a choice of obedience to God's word to be born again, that is, receive Christ. Open your heart and receive him as your Savior tonight. That's how you can be born again. Say, preacher, I'd like to be born again. I couldn't raise my hand a moment ago. I do not know for sure that I am, but I really want to be born again because I want to enter the kingdom of God. I don't want to be in hell. I don't want to go through that door that leads to hell for all eternity when I die. I want to go through that door that enters into heaven when I die. I want that certainty in my life, and I really want that sincerity tonight. If that's you, would you lift that hand for prayer? Just lift it right up. Say, preacher, remember me in the prayer. God spoke in my heart about being born again tonight. Here's my hand. I want to be born again. It can take place. It's a glorious message. It is a glorious truth. It can happen in your heart and your life in a moment. You say, preacher, I'd like that today. I'd like that. Here's my hand. Pray for me. Would you lift that hand quickly? Anybody say anywhere? Here's another question. How many say, preacher, I'm saved. I could raise my hand and say, I'm born again. But I wonder, have you gotten away from living like a born-again Christian ought to live? Do you need to get back to living like a born-again Christian ought to live? You say, preacher, I need to repent. I need to get right with God. I'm not living like a born-again Christian ought to be living. I know it, and I'm miserable inside. And boy, you are miserable when you're really born again and you're not living right. You are miserable. I mean, you're just going against the stream of life the wrong way. Say, preacher, I need to get things right with God. Pray for me in the prayer. Here's my hand. Would you lift that hand quickly? Just lift up. Preacher, I'm not living like a born-again Christian on the left. Pray for me in the prayer. God spoke in my heart. Would you lift that hand? Yes, all over the building. Anybody else? Anybody else? Say, preacher, remember me. I'm not living like a born-again Christian on the left. You know, pray for me, preacher. Here's my hand. Here's my hand. I don't know what you need to do to start living like a born-again Christian. Maybe get sin out of your life. Maybe obey the Lord and his first command, you know, get baptized, join the church. I don't know. But maybe get back to church. Maybe get back to, you know, coming to the Word of God and the preaching of the Word and the fellowship with God's people again. I don't know but you know. You say, preacher, I need to get back to living like a born-again Christian. Pray for me. Pray for me. Yes, yes, yes. God bless you. All right, let's stand, please. Every head's bowed, every eyes closed, please. No one's looking around. Every head's bowed, every eyes closed. We're going to sing this great song, Invitation, in just a moment. And if you raise a hand, you say, preacher, I'm not living like a born-again Christian. I'm inviting you to come and get back to living like a born-again Christian. Make that decision to repent of the way you're living. You know, repentance doesn't stop when you get saved. There are times when you're going to have to repent as a Christian. And tonight, if you're not living like a born-again Christian, it's time to repent and get back to doing and living what God wants you to live like and following the Lord like you know you ought to. Oh, I pray you'll make that decision to repent tonight. and get back to living like a born-again Christian life. If you're here tonight and you couldn't raise a hand and say, preacher, I know I've been born again. Here's your opportunity. In a moment it could take place, a glorious birth, a new birth from above, a birth that God gives you, a miracle. And God just works wonderful miracles in your life. Just keeps on working wonderful miracles in your life. You know? Would you get born again tonight? Make that decision tonight. Would you do it? I pray you would. Father, you've seen the hands. And Lord, I pray you'll bless this invitation now, Father. I pray you'll give courage to make decisions that would be real and sincere. And I pray there'll be repentance on the part of Christians who are not living like a born-again Christian. I'll live it. Lord, I pray that if there be those in our midst who still do not know they've been born again, Lord, I pray that you'd show them that they're not and that they're lost. I pray that you'd help them to see tonight that their sin is going to take them to hell. And Lord, the only way to have that sin taken care of is to be born again by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And we'll give you the praise and glory for it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.